The Christian as a builder is our subject today. And before we come to the subject as such, I would like to add two introductory thoughts connected with the subject. For the first, we're going to read a passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug and went deep and laid a foundation on the rock. But a great rain coming, the stream broke upon that house and could not shake it, for it had been founded on the rock." And one verse from a similar passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. "Whoever therefore hears these my words and does them, I will liken him to a prudent man who builds his house upon the rock." Before we can talk about building as a Christian, building the house of God, we have to build our own life upon the rock. The Lord Jesus in Luke 6, he speaks about professors that were saying, "Lord, Lord," but there was no reality. There were no real believers, no real disciples of the Lord Jesus. And he says, if anyone hears the word and obeys it, he is the one that builds his house, the house of his life, upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And even if problems start, even if there is rain and storm beating against the house, it will stand because it is founded upon the rock. So the first question I would like to ask today is, have you built your house upon the rock? Do you have really this foundation in your life that there is reality? Not simply being among Christians and saying, "Lord, Lord," but really to found your life on the Lord Jesus. He is the rock. He is the one that gives you strength and that will enable you as a Christian to be a builder to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. May we turn to another introductory thought, and therefore I would like to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we are going to read verses 20 to 22. "Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitted together increases to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." Then a verse from 1 Peter 2, verse 5. "Yourselves also as living stones are being built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And the well-known verse of the Lord Jesus speaking in Matthew 16, where he says in verse 18, Matthew 16, verse 18, "And I also, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my assembly, and Hades' gate shall not prevail against it." When we will be talking about the Christian as a builder, then this has to do with our responsibility. And as always, when man's responsibility is concerned, there will be failure. And so I thought it may be encouraging and strengthening for us to see that Scripture gives us also another point of view, where God, where the Lord Jesus is the one that builds. And when he builds, everything is perfect and complete. So he speaks about the house of God, the assembly, that the Lord Jesus says, "I will build my assembly, and the Hades, the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it." And in Ephesians, the apostle has two views of the house. On the one hand, it increases to a holy temple in the Lord, something that is increasing. The Lord is building, and there are living stones, as Peter said, put into it, and it will be finished at the rapture when the Lord Jesus comes, and all the saints that belong to the assembly will be called home to him. But on the other hand, he speaks about the house as a habitation of God in the Spirit, and so it's complete. God is not living on a building site. It's a complete house of God that the Lord Jesus built. Everything perfect. Everything is well fitted together in its place. That's encouraging that in spite of all our failure, there is this house of God that he builds, which is always perfect and in the way that God has decided it to be. But now we would like to turn to the subject we want to deal with as the Christian as a builder. And we are going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workmen, ye are God's husbandry, God's building. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me, as a wise architect, I have laid the foundation, but another builds upon it. But let each see how he builds upon it. For other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, the work of each shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire shall try the work of each what it is. If the work of anyone which he has built upon the foundation shall abide, he shall receive a reward. If the work of anyone shall be consumed, he shall suffer loss, but he shall be saved, but so as through the fire. Do ye not know that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone corrupts the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. And I would like to add one short verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3, second part of the verse. It speaks about that for everything there is a season, a time to break down and a time to build up. In 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul takes up the problem that there had arisen in the Corinthian assembly, that some of them had made divisions and saying, I am for Paul and I am for Apollos and others for Peter and so on. And the Apostle in chapter 3 speaks about this way and says, verse 4, For when one says, I am of Paul and another, I of Apollos, are ye not men? Who then is Apollos and who Paul? Ministering servants through whom ye have believed, and as the Lord has given to each. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God has given the increase, so that neither the planter is anything nor the waterer, but God the giver of the increase. But the planter and the waterer are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. There he speaks that all these laborers, Paul and Apollos, and every one of us, we are all workers, fellow workmen, under the authority of God, working together. Each has his own ministry that he does, but the workers are one. We are working on the same project with the different tasks he has given us, and each will receive his own reward. In this connection, the apostle uses two pictures, so to say. He calls the Corinthians God's husbandry and God's building. When he sees them as God's husbandry, then Paul had planted them, Apollos had watered, but God had given the increase. And it's still so today. Some are doing planting work, pioneer work maybe, others help the saints, and God gives the increase. But then he goes over to say that the Corinthians are God's building. And when he speaks about that, he says that he, as Paul is a wise architect who has laid the foundation, and others build upon it. Later on, the apostle says in verse 11, For other foundation can no man lay beside that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when he says that he laid the foundation, we may wonder how he did so, because the foundation is no one else but the Lord Jesus. I think we could say that Paul, in a special way, had the fullest revelation from God about the person of Christ, about the mystery of Christ in the assembly, about Christ, the one who died, who rose, who ascended to heaven, who is sitting at the right hand of God, who is coming back. All these things were particularly revealed in a full way to the Apostle Paul. And so he laid the foundation in a way that he brought forth this wonderful truth about the Lord Jesus. And now each one who is building at the house of God is building on this foundation. If anyone built on this foundation. And now he's going to speak about the way and the question, how are we building? With what material are we building at the house of God? And he mentions, so to say, two kinds of material, two groups of material. In the whole passage, Paul is speaking about three kind of workers. Good man working with good material, good man working with bad material, and bad man destroying. So the first two groups he's talking about believers. The third group, unbelievers. So he speaks about the first and he says the materials could be grouped into two groups. The one group is gold, silver, precious stones, and the other group is wood, grass, and straw. But he says, the work of each shall be made manifest. There will be a day when our work will be reviewed. And then it will be seen if things are good, if they abide through the fire of testing, or if they are burned up. Gold, silver, precious stones. This speaks about the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus, about the truth of the Word of God. If we bring these things, this is something that could abide, something that will be rewarded by the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Gold speaks of the glory of God seen in the person of the Lord Jesus. Silver speaks of redemption and reminds us of the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And precious stones, maybe not speak about all the different precious truths about the person of the Lord Jesus brought before in the ministry that is done in building up the saints. Some expositors see in these three the three persons of the Godhead. When we say gold speaks about the glory of God, silver, the redemption, speaks about the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, and the precious stones, perhaps the wonderful fruit of the Spirit that he brings forth. We read, for example, when the apostle speaks about the spirit and attitude of a woman, a godly woman, he calls that this is precious in the sight of God. So all these things that are brought forth by the Spirit when bringing forth the Lord Jesus and build up the saints in the Word of God, in the truth that he wants to present, then this is something that really abides, that has a good result, and there will be reward when this is characterizing the service of the saints when building up the church. But there is wood, grass, and straw, things that are burned. As there is a difference between gold, silver, and precious stones, there's a difference between wood, grass, and straw. There is probably a different seriousness and of the wrong things that are taught, false doctrines that are brought, teachings that are not according to Scripture. They are things that will burn up. They are not things that should be, are not for the edification of the saints. We could perhaps also think of things that come from the flesh. For example, some rhetorical excellence in speaking. So to people say, oh, he's a good speaker. He's very good in his rhetorical behavior. But that is straw. That is nothing which is of lasting benefit. It's not so much the way we present things, but it is the truth that we bring. And these things are burned. It says, if the work of anyone who will be built upon the foundation shall abide, he shall receive a reward. The Lord is the one who is guiding us through his Spirit to do these things, and he is rewarding things that he himself has worked in us. That shows us the grace of the Lord Jesus to his servants. But it says, if the work of anyone shall be consumed, he shall suffer loss, but he shall be saved, but so as through the fire. Here is someone who built with wood, hay, and straw, and everything is burned up, but he is the Savior, he is a believer, and so he is rescued, he is saved, but so as through the fire. An illustration of this maybe could be seen in this Old Testament man of Lot, who was rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah. He was brought out, he was a believer, as we know from Peter's epistle, and he was rescued by God, but everything he had burned up. There was nothing he could take with him, everything he had lost. The Apostle Paul uses the extremes, the two end points, so to say. There is one, and that should be the case with the believer, there is one who is building with good material, gold, silver, and precious stones. And there is one on the other side who built only with wood and straw and hay, and everything is burned up. But from practical experience, probably we must say, very often there is also a mixture. That in principle, we want to build with good material, but when we judge ourselves in the presence of the Lord, we must say, well, there were situations when there was wood and straw. Maybe we were rejoicing in all the nice stories we could tell and the jokes we made or whatever, but that is not gold, silver, or precious stones. That is something that will be burned up. That's not what will be rewarded. So that the Lord is speaking through this passage to all of us. With what kind of material are we building? And that is not only for preaching the Word of God, but even in the personal context we have when we try to build up believers in the Lord Jesus, and in that way build in this process, in the way and in the place the God has given us. We are fellow workmen with all the others doing this kind of ministry that He has given us, and should be with really good material, material that speaks of the Lord Jesus and that will endure and abide in the fire of testing that the Lord is doing with all we do. In most of his epistles, the Apostle Paul had in mind there were some, probably, in amongst the saints that were not believers. They were confessors, they confessed to be believers, but they were not. And some, under the influence of Satan, were even trying to destroy. They were no builders, but destroyers. These wolves that come into the flock, as he says in another passage. And here he speaks about those in the end, when he says that there were those who did not bring any material of value, but just the opposite, when he says, if anyone corrupt the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. Yes, there are people in Christianity that try to destroy the building. There's no process of building anything, but just of destroying it, working against it. Unbelievers who come among the saints with wrong doctrine, with serious things that destroy the building. God says, such a one who corrupts will be under the judgment of God. Him shall God destroy. He is looking after the building we do. And in that way, it is wonderful to see. We could all work as builders, as He has given us. One has a task that may more be seen in the public and others, but let's make sure, let's try to have this good material, gold, silver, precious stones. Let's speak about the person of the Lord Jesus. When we talk about Him and all the things that are connected with Him, there will be rewards, and the building will be for the benefit of the house of God. We also taking a short notice of this verse in Ecclesiastes, where it says that there's for everything there is a season, and in that connection he says a time to break down and a time to build up. Sometimes when you come to a place where you want to build a house, the ground is not empty. There's something on it that has to be broken down before you can start and build anything of value. And that is exactly, by the way, the task God had given to the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1, when God gives this young prophet the task he was going to do, there he says to him, Jeremiah 1 verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. There we also have these two pictures of building a house and planting something on the ground. But he says, first of all, you have to break down things. Israel was in idolatry. They were serving wrong gods. All these things had to be broken down before they could start building up the saints. And that may be the same in Christianity. It may be the case that we find something that is wrong and we have to break it down, pointing out from the scriptures that it is wrong before we could start building up. I remember the time when I spoke to a believer whom the Lord had rescued out of the hands of Jehovah's Witnesses. But in the conversation, there was a time you had to break down all the wrong things he still brought with him, he had heard in all these years among the Jehovah's Witnesses, and have to say, well, brother, this is wrong. Scripture says differently. And after breaking down, we could build up and tell him what Scripture really says about the blessed person of the Lord Jesus and about the work he had done and all these things and about our future, that it is not on this earth but in heaven and other things. So probably our work as builder, we also have to break down some things that are wrong, that are in the way of building up the assembly. Building at the house of God. Christian as a builder, working for the Lord to build the saints, to encourage them, to help them, so that the work of the Lord is going on until the time when this work will be completed, when we are with the Lord. But I would like to take this subject of the Christian as a builder also to a second point of view the scripture has, And that is not building at the house of God, but building at the wall. And therefore we read only one verse from Nehemiah, Nehemiah 2, verse 17. And I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, that Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, as also of the king's words, which he had said unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And they strengthened their hands for the good work. We know that Nehemiah, the house of God was built under Ezra. And Nehemiah was in Shushan and he was interested in what was going on. In chapter 1, he got some visitors from Jerusalem. And it says in verse 2 of Nehemiah 1, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped who were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. Nehemiah had an interest in the people of God and in the place where God has put his name. Is that the same with you and me? And he got an answer. And they said to me, those who remain that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is in ruins, and its gates are burned with fire. He said, if you ask after the people of God, they are in great affliction and reproach. That's the situation, a very sad condition. And if you ask about Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem are in ruins and its gates are burned with fire. The walls of Jerusalem, the walls that speak of the separation from the world, are broken. And the gates that speak of godly administration at the place are no longer there. And what is the result when Nehemiah hears this? It says, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat and wept and mourned for days and fasted and prayed before the God of heavens. In a humble way, he identifies with the situation and he prays about it. What could be done about it? For some months he was in this position. And when the king asked him what he wants, he knew what he wanted. He wanted to go there to that place, starting to build up the wall. And so he went and at a nightly inspection tour, he saw, yes, the report that I got was right. And then in chapter 3, he calls the people together, chapter 2. He calls them together and he says to them, let us start and let us build up the wall and Jerusalem and be no more a reproach. And the result is that the others say to him, yes, come, let us rise up and build. And so they start building the wall. And chapter 3 in the book of Nehemiah gives us a wonderful picture to study in detail. Everyone was doing some kind of work, or nearly most of them, opposite their houses, one next to the other. There we have the idea that the workers are one, even if they have different tasks, working at the wall to finish this wall in a wonderful way. Yes, the enemy doesn't like that. The enemy doesn't want us to build this wall that separates the holy place from the unholy surroundings. So there was attack from the outside, and there was also corruption from the inside. Satan will always try to oppose the work we do in building the wall. And he will also try to corrupt the work of God from the inside. But he was not successful. And even when he tried to destroy, so to say, to put away the main worker, Nehemiah, from outside, from inside, the same tactics, he was not successful. He said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot go. Dear brothers and sisters, we are living in a time when the world is trying to infiltrate the church, to infiltrate the life of Christians through social media and all kinds of things they want to get into. And we need to have this wall that separates us from these dangerous and disastrous influences. We do not only need a firewall on our computer, we need the wall in our lives that the viruses of the world and all these influences does not come in and hinder the work of God. But if we work in keeping up this wall of separation, build on it, what are we doing? It says, they strengthened their hands for the good work. Beloved saints, that's what we want to learn from this short message about the Christian as a builder. He wants us, first of all, to build at the house of God. As soon as we have put our lives on the rock, the foundation, and start working for the Lord, he wants us to build the house of God with this wonderful, valuable material, gold, silver, and precious stone. How much of this do we have in the Word of God that we could use to build each other up and to build the house of God. There will be reward for everything we have done for him in the right way. Probably we may realize that sometimes we have used wrong material, wood, hay, straw. We can confess this to the Lord and ask him to give us this wonderful material that we could use in building up the house of God. But then we have also the second task of building the wall, of separation from a world that is trying to hinder the work of God, that is trying to make so many problems that we may say, oh, the work is too much. That's what they said in Nehemiah's day. We can't do it, but we could do what they did to strengthen our hands for the good work. May the Lord help us that our building will be for the benefit of the church and the Lord will reward what is done for him. May we strengthen each other for the good work as builders, be it on the house of God, be it on the walls. Both is necessary and we are all equipped for one task or another, taking part in this building process. May the Lord bless his word.